This is a One Voice podcast. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Jake Hawley, and this is the first ever episode of the One Voice podcast. And who better to kick off our podcast than the directors of One Voice themselves, Phil Rothstein and Rosanna Patella. Guys, why don't you introduce yourselves really quick?
Hi, I'm Rosanna Patella. I'm the director of One Voice. And here is Phil Rothstein.
Hi, and I'm also a director with the One Voice Institute.
Is it Rothstein? Because I said Rothstein.
Rothstein's fine.
Okay. All right, so cool. Before we talk about what One Voice is for those who don't know, why don't you guys tell us a story of how you thought of the idea, what inspired it, why did you create it, and what about it made you say that this is going to be the rest of our lives? So if think about it this way, if One Voice is a superhero, what is the origin story?
Sure. So Phil and I have very similar and different backgrounds, but in the most important ways, we pretty much grew up the same way. We grew up in cities, Jersey City and Philadelphia in the United States. We grew up with this idea that you're supposed to dedicate your life to something good in the world. Like you have a purpose, a destiny. Phil actually pursued his right away because he couldn't study dinosaurs and work with them because they were gone. Mm-hmm. So he decided geology, rocks would be the thing. And mm-hmm. So to get a working position in that, you actually have to do something like work for the EPA, which he did.
Right.
So he dedicated 25 years of his life to trying to make the environment a better place. I, on the other hand, went into technology. So I started out as a biomedical engineer because I thought I was going to make prosthetics and make the world a better place. But instead, I went into technology and computers and realized that that was a great tool to make the world a better place. And then we met. And we decided that together we could make the world a much better place by applying a lot of our education and our knowledge that people have the ability to make things better, but they need a voice, they need a value system, they need ethics, and they need education. And so the name of the company, the One Voice Institute of Elemental Ethics and Education. We picked Institute because, you know, you never hear about like serial killer institution. You know, institute, right? It's always like a good thing. Institute's a good word. It's like a foundation. So we chose that.
Except a mental institute.
That's true. But it's institute. So we decided together we would be able to lift the microphone to various very important people's voices so that we could use that, leverage that to make the world a better place.
Right on. How do I work for you and not know that you were a biomedical engineer? That's so cool.
Ah,
yeah.
So I started. Well, my parents were both doctors and they wanted all doctors. My sisters were not able to do the scholastic part. I was, but I went into technology, not pre-med. But I am a doctor. I have a PhD. So they did get their wish.
Right on. See, my mom, she just wanted me to learn how to cook so that she didn't have to do it.
That's smart thinking.
Your mom's a lot more ambitious than mine.
Smart thinking. Absolutely.
It worked out for her. So you guys, you started out in the U.S., but moved to B.C. Right. Luckily you did because then I wouldn't have a job.
Right. Exactly.
Maybe you can take us through that decision and tell us why you thought Victoria, B.C. was the place to be.
Sure.
See.
I mean, without getting sidetracked on politics, that's not the purpose of this conversation, but we were looking for a place to migrate to that had a value system that aligned with ours. Mm. And we looked at a number of different places around the world and thought, well, our neighbor to the north, Canada, seemed like a good place because it seems to put its emphasis on the people, what's good for the people, what they need, what their priorities are, and less so on, I don't know, the acquisition of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like a good fit, given my dad was from Canada. It made it easier for me to become a citizen of Canada. So I think for that reason, although there were a host of other reasons, it made sense. And given that we were used to the warm climate of California, Vancouver Island actually has very similar weather.
The nice parts.
The nice part.
The other thing about Canada is history is very important to us, Phil. And I truly believe if you don't know history, you are doomed to repeat it. And we are avid historians. And Canada's place in the world, although no country is perfect, but its image and approach to world events and its relationship with allies and other things is important to us. Those values are important to us. We are more doves than hawks, and we feel that we fit in better in Canada.
I agree.
Right on. Cool. So what about Victoria specifically made you feel like that this company could succeed here?
Well, Victoria, you know, is being referred to as the new Paris of Canada or the new California. Yes.
Okay, that's cool.
Canada. Yeah, the new San Francisco of Canada. Victoria has the nicest weather, the most temperate weather, I should say.
That's true.
In Canada. It is an up-and-coming city. There are so many branches of companies from the United States and elsewhere that are opening branches here. There's a whole new level of interest. So there's income. There's a lot of amazing artists and emerging entrepreneurs on the island. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that we noticed they didn't have was something like this voice, you know, this ability to be seen and heard and to be exposed in such a way that they could be profitable. So we felt that that was an initial thing that we could do, come and help tweak the economy of BC, starting with the island.
Nice. Right on.
We thought this environment was ripe for this kind of platform.
And it absolutely
is. That this area is a good fit and that people are going to be receptive to it. And they certainly are.
And lots of universities, since we're a teaching organization, as you know, having lots of students around that we can impact and hire is really great.
Absolutely. That's a great answer. Yeah, when I moved here, I'm an artist myself, you know, I'm a photographer, I'm a videographer. And when I moved here from Ontario, I didn't really delve outside of that artistic avenue. But seeing, like, after working with you guys and seeing how many different types of artists there are, glass artists, you know, mud makers, it's been really cool to discover all this. So I definitely think you picked the right place.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, the community is just so rich with people who have things to offer the world. And as you've met a lot of them, so you know, it isn't just their magnificent art. It isn't just the photography and the works that they're writing and all of those things. These are people with excellent karma. They have good spirits. Mm-hmm. They want to make a positive impact on the world, and they want to help each other. So we're working with a community of people who already have all of that spirit. We're just providing them a vehicle to do it.
They just want to be noticed.
Yeah, noticed, yeah, and help each other be
right.
noticed.
Right. So,
that's all an artist wants, is to be noticed.
Yeah.
Right. Honestly.
Yeah, and don't we want to see what they have to offer? What is the world without art or without new innovation and so on?
I wouldn't have known all these artists exist.
That's right. That's
otherwise.
Right. Yeah. More the merrier.
Yeah.
Great. So the work you guys do is clearly necessary. And apart from, you know, helping artists be noticed, why else is it necessary, do you think?
The reason that we started the organization, the world, even when we started, we saw it as a place that was just, there's a lot of evil. There's a lot of negative energy in the world. The ethics that we talked about being elemental, right? The elemental ethics don't always exist everywhere that in our experience. And so we feel that, you know, humans are the only animal in the world that have the defined speech that we have. We have the ability to be educated. We have the ability to work together in ways that no other animal is able to do. But yet a lot of the world falls to other methods of dealing with each other. They don't communicate. They don't educate each other. It goes to violence. It goes to you know, prejudice and other things. We really feel that the work that we do models a type of behavior that is very productive, very profitable, but also sets a model up for how humans can interact with each other in a peaceful, marvelous, collaborative way, and also be able to duplicate that. In other words, to teach it, other people can model it. The best way to teach is through example. And so we think our work is more important than all of the dollars that are made and all of the businesses that are helped. And it's even more important because it creates a positive energy, maybe to balance some of that negative energy.
Totally. Awesome. So a lot of the work you're doing right now is revolving around art and artists and businesses. Why don't we talk about your personal artistic outlets? What do you guys do to scratch that muscle?
That's a good question.
So, you know, they say if you love what you do, you never work a moment of your life.
Very true.
So we are obsessive compulsive, but it's not a disease. It's a tool.
Like oh, we good. Work I'll 7 days.
Yeah, it is. We love to do what we do. So we do. Really 7 days a week, we do this work. It's what makes us happy. But we yes. also planted a Liberty Garden. Because we're thinking that, you know, growing your own food is a very positive thing to do. And we love to watch things grow.
We're also thinking about in this COVID world, or hopefully we're getting to the post-COVID world, there's going to be probably a greater need for self-sufficiency.
Yes.
It's true.
Being able to grow their own food and take care of themselves and their families and being less dependent maybe on others.
So what you do, you can teach. So we're creating a farm, the nucleus of a farm that we will plant elsewhere so people can learn about it. But there's a history to that. Here's something else you don't know.
Oh, fun.
We had another organization that we started in the United States called Local Heirloom Farm to Chef. It was a microgreen company, but it was an aquaponic microgreen company.
These are a lot of big words you're throwing at me.
Okay, so microgreens are little, tiny, very delicious, very nutritious plants. Aquaponics is like hydroponics. You grow your food based on water, more water than soil, but it also raises fish. So the fish fertilize the water fertilizes the plants.
That's cool. It's like there's a word for this. I'm pretty sure.
Symbiotic.
Yeah. It's symbiotic relationship.
Symbiotic relationship.
And it's the perfect way to give people in a place where food sustainment is a problem. You can create one of these systems that uses 5% of the water of a normal farm and people can grow their own fish and their own plants. So they have a perfectly balanced diet. Yes. So it's a food sustainment thing. It's part of Phil's environmental work.
Right.
And it's things that we definitely want to bring to Canada in areas where the weather isn't terrific, where water might be a problem, where people just would rather grow their own healthy organic food very simply and easily. Mm-hmm. Children can run the systems. It's really great.
That's very cool.
So so that's an outcrop of that.
Right.
And the next property that we buy, which we are looking for, we want to have a larger space so that we can demonstrate those things.
Cool. You said children can do it. That means I could probably also do it.
Yes. Great. It's very simple.
That's encouraging. So you're all about helping people learn to become better versions of themselves and inspiring people to pursue their goals. But we want to know, who did you learn from and who inspired you to pursue your own goals?
It's different in each case.
Yes.
So Phil learned from his parents.
Well,
and
I think my parents had, they grew up, I think, during the Depression and lived through World War II. And I guess they had this strong sense of responsibility, of
Civil duty,
mm-hmm. having to support their family, to putting others first, that making sacrifices, you do the right thing. You know,
you try at least.
You try.
That's right.
You give it your best effort. Yeah. And I think that made an impression on me that it's easy to have blinders on. And we are all guilty of that, but that there's a much bigger world out there. And hopefully we can take what we've learned. And now that we're a little bit older, but we're still very young in many ways, it's our kind of duty to pass on what we've learned.
Absolutely. When I was young, one of the trips I took, my father was from Brazil. He was Italian, but he was from Brazil. And we took a trip to Brazil and it was a different life. But I did notice that in the households, there were people that my family employed that could do everything from scratch, like literally everything. They made chocolate, they churned their own butter. And this was in the 70s. It wasn't like there was no refrigeration.
Yeah.
You know? Baked all their own bread, created everything themselves, sewed clothing, did everything. And it just kind of struck me that we lived in the United States. We lived in a very like buy it at the supermarket, buy it at the department store kind of life. And I didn't know how to do a lot of things. Like I knew how to sew because I learned how to sew when I was a kid. But I got very interested in doing things like canning and, you know, raising tomatoes because they did, and it was groovy, you know. So then we learned as we got older that these skills are very applicable when you're trying to help people, especially people that are at risk for food or have low incomes and so on. The more that you can teach them about and help them to do things for themselves, the more empowered they feel. And then they're willing to take risks to try other things. And so that's kind of become part of our thing is, as you know, we want to teach other people or let them learn themselves because we think it's part of their growth pattern. It creates a lot of positive karma for everyone. Right. You know, so it's part of the deal.
Yeah.
Right. Part of the package. Right. Yeah.
You guys talk a lot about Gary Vee as well.
Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah, I would assume he's one of your inspirations. Maybe you can elaborate on him.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So Gary, we just fell in love with about a year ago, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago.
But his philosophy, which is, you know, kindness, like his last few posts have been about kindness is the ultimate weapon. Mm-hmm. Like, just think about, we're seeing all sorts of violence online and all this kind of stuff. And this man who is very successful, he's a millionaire. He's just come up through from nothing to everything. He's telling us that it's not about that. He's telling us that it's the human connection, what you can do to inspire, help, grow someone else. That's the power, right? So we love Gary. We are total, everything we do, as you know, at One Voice is in alignment with his theories. I think we developed them kind of in parallel and then realized that we were saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. But even the way that we're posting to social media and so on, we're trying to make people understand that we're here for them. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is, whatever they need, we want them to be aware of that. It's not about selling something to them.
Yeah.
It's more like letting them know that we're sold on them and we'd really like to be of help. Yeah.
I like that. Sold on them. That's cool.
Right.
That's cool.
So it's not It's not about selling a product. It's actually building relationships with people, connecting with people. And then, yes, as an outgrowth of that, yes, products are bought and sold.
And it's our way. It's the way our whole business has always happened. It's amazing. And it's like the opposite of almost everyone else that we know that's in business. Like the Isla Spotlight that you know about. So here it is. It's a technological platform that allows artists and emerging entrepreneurs to get the exposure they need so that they can, you know, have people see their work, go into auctions, sell their paintings, get their audition seen by a director or whatever, or their script reviewed by a publisher or whatever. So all that goodness happens, but you'll see that even though that's the focus, a lot of business will be transacted. So you have a pot, you can be very profitable and still do the right thing. It's not the way a lot of people think, is that you always are. If your total focus is the bottom line, you aren't doing the other part, right? Your own, it's a profit and loss business.
You have to take advantage of people.
Yeah, that's right. The other model is sort of like you've got to make your profit first and foremost. That's always the thought. Gary Vee and we believe that by doing the right thing, putting it out there, as we help other people, they or the universe or other partners that we gather help us. And so it's an amazing thing. It seems so basic, but people miss it all the time.
I mean, I think you're taught that it's very black and white.
Yeah, it's not.
It's that if you're going to get ahead in business, you got to step on people.
Yeah.
The more we do for our people, which include you and this team and the partners, and the more we do for them, the more profitable the company is. It's absolutely proportional. And it's weird that people don't realize that.
So we think by promoting these artists and entrepreneurs, as a result of that, building their brands, more business is going to be transacted. But we're not doing it as directly. We're not saying buy their painting, buy their sculpture.
Don't have to. They sell themselves. Don't have to. And the really important part of the major mission, you asked why Victoria and why BC? Our mission here, since we arrived in November, is to try to tweak the economy in a very positive way. We want to make it less seasonal, less tourist related. We want people to have better incomes in more households, which tweaks the whole economy. That's the best way, actually, to tweak an economy and make it stable and make it year round. And so first we did the gala for right. some of our charitable friends in February. And that will start a whole list of auctions that will be taking place so that there's donations to charities every quarter, not just at Christmas time. So that's another whole waterfall effect.
Yeah. I think I've heard of the Valentine's Day Gala. Yeah.
Yeah. It's on our website and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful event and we were very excited about people coming to it. But more importantly, that it set up a standard that you can do something that's outrageous and fun and elegant and different, give people a really good time, not make it very costly. Mm-hmm. Like you can actually make it pretty inexpensive. And then they can feel good about it. They had a great time. And they also, in this case, donated to the Mustard Seed Kool-Aid, the Souk Food Bank, and the Souk Crisis Center. They can feel good that their good time related to a good thing.
Absolutely. I had a great time there.
Yeah. So that's kind of the direction we're taking.
And I think a lot of people, again, as an outgrowth of COVID, they're struggling. And we're finding that many of the artists and entrepreneurs, they would like to get to the point in their lives where they can pursue their dream and pursue what they love to do and not have to kind of juggle their 9-to-5. In fact, unfortunately, many of them have lost their 9-to-5.
Right. So, and their side hustle is all there is.
Right. Yeah. So they want to make a go of it. And they want to get their name out there.
Yes. Yeah, so we want to help them.
We want to help
them. We want to make sure their families are stable, their kids are fine. Everybody's good and we can do it. The vehicle is here. This particular project that we talked about is current. We have in order to tweak the environment here, we also have to look at major industries. And hospitality is a major industry. And
sure
so,
is.
But right now with COVID, even going back to the new normals, it is in great jeopardy and lots of risk. We want to help all those families and companies that have invested their lives in hospitality and give them something amazing, something out of the box, something they've never imagined that will dovetail with right. what they've already invested in and help bring people in a safe way. So we've got that next and there'll be many more. But so the overall goal right now is just stabilize and tweak the economy for all the families that exist. And that will take us to start all those and to get our first phases and will take us through first quarter of next year, but there'll be plenty behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like you guys have a lot of things on the go right now.
Absolutely.
We do. Yeah. We have big plans.
And I say you guys, like I'm not here working with you.
Well, yeah, we do have a lot.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff to do.
Yes, we do.
We've been working on a lot for the past few months.
Exactly.
Like we just talked about the Isle Spotlight and stuff like that. What else have you been working on? Have we been working on?
Well,
and what are you going to make me do in the future?
No, so many things. So many
we're
things.
Not making you.
What are you paying me to do in the future?
We're actually in a hiring mode. And we know that that's right now very unusual because of the situation that everyone is going through. We are hiring and we're bringing people in to set up our brain trust so that we can identify the precise solution in hospitality for the next phase. Another thing that we didn't mention is the new normals. Like mm-hmm. we mentioned it with hospitality. This is something that I think we should let people know is that, you know, they're all struggling with what do they do now? Like, how do they go back?
Go forward.
We have a lot of ideas. We probably have more ideas than most. And so if they just want to call and get advice, we can help. You know?
Yeah, totally. So anyone who's been listening, maybe they're intrigued about how they can work with us and how they can grow themselves. What would you suggest to them? How can they get in contact with you or where can they find out more about us in order to get those steps going?
Sure. So really depending on who you are and what you want to accomplish, we can help. If you are an artist or an emerging entrepreneur or even an established entrepreneur who's trying to adapt to the new normals, our brain trust is available and eager to help. So all you have to do is go to our website. It's www.onevoiceinstitute.com, exactly the way it sounds. You can call our office, 250-884-0500, and just ask for help. We're here. That's what we do. The other things, if you are a person a problem solver, for example, that would like to be part of a brain trust, There's a lot of opportunity there. We're creating focus groups where people can provide their input. We're always hiring. So depending on skills and that, that's an option. And we are working with students who are looking for internships and other cooperative
co-op opportunities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So really, the world is your cupcake. Just reach out and we're here for you.
I love cupcakes. I miss cupcakes. The keto diet has been...
Also, there's keto cupcakes. You can reach us by email. Our email address is leadership@onevoiceinstitute.com.
And if anybody wants to talk to me, I'm media@onevoiceinstitute.com. I'm a good time. was there anything else we needed to cover? Or
one thing that's really interesting, and it's always been our experience in the past, is that once we have determined a focus like we are now, especially, for example, working with hospitality, creating a whole new experience, something highly marketable by the people involved. We attract rock stars, like people from all over the world that are highly esteemed in their fields, are attracted because they are SMEs, they're subject matter experts, they're looked upon for advice, and they provide people in gaming, people in virtual reality, people in augmented reality, developers, cybersecurity, all these types of people, entrepreneurs of different types. They become attracted because in their fields, they've pretty much done everything. They're already recognized. They're often asked to do the same things over and over again. When they work with One Voice, there is never, as you have experienced, an over and over again. Every new project builds on the last and becomes something of its own animal. It's its own dynamic.
Yeah, it changes each time, right?
Yeah, it grows organically, and it's really unusual. It's unusual to be in an organization like that. So we attract amazing people. And so one of the great things about working with the organization is you get to meet them and you get to work with them, and they get to teach you things. So we think that's a really great benefit of being involved with One Voice
Community. And I think many of these talented people often, not that they're successful in their own right, but they have to work within these boundaries.
Yes.
And
we have very few boundaries.
One thing we're about is not having boundaries or working outside the box. So
we're not recognizing that there is not, a box. Like,
right.
That would be more like
and
it.
Giving them kind of the freedom
yeah.
to explore, to experiment, to take chances, which is something
fun.
Do something fun that's also going to do some good.
Right.
And be profitable too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's something different, I think.
All of my favorite words in one sentence. Fun, good, and profitable.
Can't go wrong.
And cupcake.
And cupcake, yeah. Awesome. Well, that's great. I had a lot of fun today.
Me too. This was great.
My first time ever recording a podcast.
So now you've experienced 1% of the One Voice, you know, 1% of what One Voice is about. Come find out more. Yeah.
Yeah. Come find out more. We have a website just got launched. So onevoiceinstitute.com.
Beautiful.
Yeah. By our very own Sarah Mathieson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. This has been the first episode of the One Voice podcast.
There'll be many more.
Many more.
So there'll be more to come.
And there'll be more to come.
Use your sexy
voice. Yeah, use your sexy voice, Phil. All right.
You're going to have to work on that. It's got that perfected.
There will be more to come. Thank you guys for listening. See you next time. Rock and roll.